Your microphone is muted. We cannot hear you.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. So, all good?
It's perfect.
Okay. Amazing. Amazing. So, thanks for this workshop. I mean, I didn't manage to attend last 2 days. It was very late for us, but yeah, I learned a lot from the first 2 talks, so that's great. So now we travel from France to South Africa, saving a lot of carbon, I guess. And yeah, I mean, South Africa, we are so far away, we cannot use trains to go anywhere. We have to fly, unfortunately. But anyway, so yeah, we'll also move from more exciting biodiversity to more mundane computing stuff. Yeah. Now, I'm no expert. I mean, this is in fact the first time I'm presenting in a meeting like this. So if I use any term, not in the way more insiders use, advance apologies. Now, for me, and I feel sustainability means different things to different people. I mean, of course, they are common broad themes, but then more fine-grained meaning is probably different. In this talk, I'm just going to focus on computing aspects, more specifically on our South African colleagues and students. So we made a survey, circulated it among the community. We got 15 responses. Not as many as I wanted. The community is probably twice as large, but also I think it's a fair representation of the community in the sense that we have a lot of master's students, PhD students, and then so yeah, as you can see on the right, I mean it's kind of we got a fair representation from the community, so that's good. Also, I mean, we might think computing does not depend on the country. It's not. I mean, I was a postdoc in Europe for many years, and whether that's the best way of doing things or not, I would just SSH into LX plus, do X11 forwarding, look at a plot directly, and edit things and look at a plot directly again. When I moved to South Africa, I realized that doesn't work. X11 forwarding does not work. The latency is too much. The upload speed is slow. So I had to install root locally. All my students, all my colleagues I know do that. Again, not a big deal, but just to say like how your workflow changes depending on where you are. Now, we started by asking them what are the biggest problems you face, and I kind of alluded to that. It's essentially low connection speed, and that affects in many ways. If you're running stuff on LX Plus and the connection gets like we drop the connection and then you have to rerun the thing again, which is not great as any of us who is working on these things would know. Also, I mean, we don't really have a lot of local clusters and grids. I mean, I know I'll get a lot of flack for saying that, but I mean, the ones we have are incredibly hard to use or get access to. And stuff like that. Yeah, so that's probably that. Now, I was like, why that's the case? I mean, internet is internet. And I did not know this before I moved to South Africa. So maybe all of you know this and this is completely redundant, but I found that it is like interesting that our internet essentially is by undersea cables, quite a few of them, but they are just cables, big bad cables. And whenever a ship or some like ramps into them and just like breaks a cable. And that apparently happens like more frequently than we know. Our internet is bad. I mean, there are sometimes when like countrywide internet is bad for a few days because one of those cables snapped. I mean, this is something we didn't realize before moving to this country and trying to do science. So that's again, probably everyone knows this, but I don't. Okay. So now I'm going to kind of divide the topic in three subtopics in the sense like what are the good computing practices? So first, of course, is awareness. Do people know? I mean, all the things we should do, and then are they using that knowledge? So that I'll combine those two, and then we'll go into how can we address that? What's the way forward? So I know this is slightly Atlas LHC specific, but Big Panda is essentially our grid monitoring thing. So we have computing grid, like most of us know. And Atlas has done something very interesting in, I won't say super recent, I think this is a few years old, that when you run a grid job, it shows your carbon footprint. I mean, of course, as I learned, it's not the exact amount, it's an averaged amount depending on CPU consumption and whatnot. But it's a number that shows up at the monitoring page. And 73% of people who responded to the survey said they actually are aware of it. So that's good. At least they know that there is a carbon footprint in running these grid jobs, which is relevant for other things because if we can run these jobs more optimized way. And then it kind of fits into the fact that do you know who to ask when you get stuck? Because if you don't, then sometimes you just keep running the same failed job again and again, which is not optimal for anything, not for your science, not for your time management, not for carbon footprint, right? So again, a large fraction said yes, probably the same fraction. So that was good. That made me very happy that whether they reach out to them is, I don't know, but at least they know. Also, Atlas Grid, and I think this is true for most of the collaborations, have a feature where when you submit a job, a small fraction of jobs run and try to see if the jobs would succeed in terms of memory usage, in terms of like finding resources and whatnot. And if those jobs fail, then the rest of the jobs don't run, which is a good thing, which is again like a good computing practice. And again, a decent fraction, like 2/3, essentially said they know that it is a thing. So again, I think that was definitely a positive. Now I asked them something just to check like what we do. And I think at least as a HAPE experimentalist, we all have been there. You submit a large number of grid jobs before going to bed, and next morning you wake up, everything is red, everything is a disaster, and you cry. But and then I think the point is, do you actually try to figure out why they all failed, or you just like, no, it must be something else, and you resubmit everything again. Again, more than half essentially said they actually try to debug rather than blindly resubmitting, but some of them also said they don't. So I think we need to reach out to everyone and see if we can optimize that. That's part of the training. And this is something I learned actually probably last year, that you can visualize contents of a root file. So that means you don't have to download the root file locally. Open it and say it, and then I mean sometimes you need to do that for your analysis. Sometimes you just want to check quickly if it's empty or a specific branch exists or something real quickly. You don't need to do all of that. Again, 2/3 said yes. So all of this is great. Then we asked them, have you run jobs in LXPlus, which is a login node where you should not be running long jobs? And then I think 40% said yes, which is a bit concerning. And that ties to the connectivity issue, right? Because if you don't do that, it's probably like your LXPlus connection would probably drop unless you're very, very lucky. And then you are trying to rerun everything again. If it's a long job, you're wasting a lot of resources. So that's not great. So what's my overall takeaway from this part? Considering that we have a significant fraction of younger students, I think it's encouraging that they're mostly aware of these issues. I also think, because I know the community reasonably well, it's a lot of peer-to-peer acquired knowledge, which is also great, but a drawback might be that it's somewhat of a closed ecosystem. I mean, if I use a computing practice, which is not great, and I'm sure I do, then I pass it on to other people, they use the same thing, and we don't course correct. So that's not great. Which brings us to training.
I know what to do.
I'm sorry, is that a question? Okay, I don't know. Anyway, right. I mean, we can discuss all of these at the end. So Atlas, again, I think it's the same for all the big collaborations. We have what we call an induction day where the new students or collaborators joining are kind of introduced to the collaboration, and there's a computing tutorial which goes on, I believe, for 4 days. So that's super helpful, very exhaustive. And we ask people, especially for people who are relative newcomers, have you done those? And turns out only 60% have done that. So that's, again, I mean, that's a good number, but it should ideally be close to 100%. If you are joining the collaboration, I think going through this is super useful. So that's one thing which kind of bothered me. And then I asked them, are you part of an ongoing Atlas analysis? Because maybe some of them are engineers. I mean, I don't know the identity of the people who replied. So maybe they don't really need to know all of these things, but almost 90%, I believe, said they are involved in Atlas analysis, so they must do the induction day and the tutorial. So that's one thing which came out, which is, I think, is a good input for the community. And then I asked them, do you use Grid? I mean, anyone doing analysis should, and they should do, so that's good. And okay, this is more of me thingy. So when you are doing an analysis in Atlas, or I guess anywhere else, you request a signal sample, like a simulator signal sample. Now, and then of course, the way is you make some plots and validate, and essentially to know the signal sample actually does what it should do. So can we get a million of those events? Now there is a software called Rivet. Some of you might be aware of it. It's kind of like, yeah, there's an MCNet collaboration which is still there. It's them and Sidder, Andy Buckley, Chris Butcher, John Butterworth. So yeah, bunch of people. I work very closely with them, and I think Rivet is great. This is slightly advertisement for Rivet for analyzing particle level simulations. So if you haven't done it, look it up. And I find it great, but large fraction in the community apparently uses like the whole Atlas analysis chain, which is fine, which is not incorrect, but as I said, I personally felt a bit let down. So I'll try to see what I can do. And sometimes you end up with files in tape, which is like a more static storage. Do you know? I asked them, do you know what to do it? Most of them said no. We use something called R2D2, very creatively named, to retrieve the files and run over it. So again, that's important. So, and then we asked at the end, what are the softwares you use on your laptop? Of course, Root and PyRoot are like the dominant ones, but also people use generators like Pythia and Madgraph. Rivet is used by quite a few, not enough. Hopefully no one uses Gen4. And someone wanted to use the Atlas Pro, like the whole Athena package, which is the Atlas software, on their Mac, which I don't think is recommended, which is I don't think is optimal. And then very quickly, am I running out of time? No, I have a couple of minutes. So if you're running machine learning, where do you run it? Most of them, or one third of them, run it on their laptop, and one third is in like online platforms, which is okay. I think that's an important data point. Then we ask them, do you want to get involved in Atlas computing development? Which I think they would. That's useful. Most of them said no. But then they use GPUs in Express, which is good. Okay, that's my last slide. So before the pandemic, we actually used to have like a community workshop where all the Atlas people would gather. No, not just Atlas. Atlas, Alice, we have Atlas and Alice. All the Atlas and Alice people would gather. Students would present, we would have tutorials and stuff. It stopped during pandemic, unfortunately, due to many reasons. I'm not going to go into that. We never restarted it, which is a pity. But I think looking at these things, we realize that there is a large scope of like training for younger students, because that's a huge part of our community. So we should organize local training events, because many of these things can be optimized. And then I just want to end by saying that, as I kind of said at the beginning, I mean, local realities play a big role. I mean, we are all CERN collaborators, we all have the same resources, but whether people know that resources exist, and this is not just distance. I think it's also like the local culture, lack of training or lack of it, all of this is important. So, I mean, I'm very happy I went through this kind of, hopefully we can find some ways in the community to improve the culture, and maybe similar exercises in other countries, other smaller countries, I would say, the developing countries would be useful. But that's all I have. Thank you very much.
It was really clear, and it was really nice to know the efforts specifically in Atlas. Chandramouli, please.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you for the talk. So, seeing the experiences that you've had, would you say that is it more or less easier to switch to more greener practices for a group that is just starting, such as in South Africa? Because I think that well-established group might have be habitual to using more non-greener methods, and as you said that. Newer groups might have not access to these practices, these more eco-friendly practices. So, if you were had to say, what do you think? Is it more or less easier?
Thanks only for that question. So I think I've made clear 2 points, which one of them I should have mentioned, that South Africa, unfortunately, our energy, I mean, is mostly coal, which is not great, but as you can imagine, we have zero control over it. In fact, people who know South Africa would know that we had like a lot of energy crises, like huge power cuts in the last few years. It has become better in the last few years. So and also the group, I mean, the community is small and there is a lot of turnover in terms of students because we have a lot of math students who just do masters, a lot of students who just do PhDs and masters and PhDs and stuff. But the group actually started in 2008, 9-ish, even maybe earlier. So, I mean, we have a long culture. It's just, I think it has grown in last few years. But yeah, coming back to your question, I think, yeah, because there is a large turnover and a large fraction of younger people, we can actually, if we do these trainings properly, I think that would be one of the focus of me and a few of our colleagues. Then we can actually do some of these things. We can tell younger kids that do this, not that, at least in our small ways, or we can help. So yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much. I see no more questions. And you're also on time. So thank you very much, Deepak, for sharing this talk with us. So now it's time for 15 minutes break. So we will try to reconvene at in 15 minutes. So 10:10 CST. Just bear in mind that we are potentially on time because there is one talk which will not happen because the person is not feeling well. So yeah, please take a coffee or take a break and we reconvene in 15 minutes.